Well, good morning. If you're not already there, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 will be our main text for this morning, and it has been such an encouragement to me. I hope you have been encouraged this morning being here, being able to sing to one another and to sing to the Lord and to pray and to commune. This is a special time for us to be together as brothers and sisters, as a church family, and to consider the deeper things of God and how might we might grow in our walk with Jesus. I don't know about you, but this is always sort of, I think, one of the most awkward and oddest times of the year for me, because Christmas is past, and I love Christmas, but there's a lot of anticipation built up for the holiday, a lot of preparation for gift buying and meal prep and logistics with connecting with all the different family members and things like that. And now it's gone, but it's not quite New Year's, and you're in this weird few days where you don't really know who you are or where you are, what day it is. You probably need a vegetable of some sort. And so this is a different time, but it's also, I think, a very special time, because it's right about now that a lot of people, including myself, begin to look forward towards the next year, right? New Year's upon us, and maybe you're beginning to think about goals that you want to set for yourself. You begin to think more inwardly and consider, what sort of changes do I want to make in my life? What sort of improvements do I want to make in my life? Where we have these New Year's resolutions, and some people set New Year's resolutions, or some people just set different goals for themselves, but they begin to think, what happened this past year, and what's in store for this next year? And it's this time of reflection, and many times there's physical goals that we set for ourselves, financial goals we set for ourselves, but also for many of us, we consider our own spiritual walk, our spiritual goals for ourselves, and like, how do I want to grow in my walk this year? How do I want to grow in my faith this year? And it's in that spirit, in that tender soil of thinking about where we are, where we've been, where we want to be, that I think Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3, three of my favorite verses in the New Testament, I think these verses will helpfully equip us this morning to consider where we need to focus our eyes, to consider our own spiritual vision. So, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 12, I want to begin actually with a video. It's a quick video, and many of you may have seen this video before, but we'll watch it anyway. But it's to help us pay attention. It's to help us evaluate our own eyesight and our own attention. So the goal, and I think it's going to explain it in the video, is for you to pay attention very carefully and to watch everyone with a white t-shirt passing a basketball to one another. And you need to count how many passes there are in this 15-20-second video. So try this with me.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count? The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla? This video
okay,
is
how many of us saw the gorilla?
And Christopher Chabrie,
okay,
and
how many of us did not see the gorilla? Be honest.
It is
wow,
available
okay.
For use in talks, training,
so the first time I saw this, I did not see the gorilla, which is the point of the video. But every time I've seen it since, I always wonder, is this going to work this time? Is this going to work? Because once you see it, you can't unsee it. There's a lot of ways our eyes work, a lot of things that grab our attention. And that's part of the fun behind things like optical illusions. Consider these. How many of us see an older woman looking down? Raise your hands. How many of us see a younger woman looking to the side? What do we see here? How many of us see a duck? How many of us see a rabbit? Okay. What do we see with this one? The other one went away, so we'll go to the fourth one. Do we see a girl's face? I know in the when I first saw this, it said, how many of us see a magician? I just see a guy playing a saxophone, so I'm not really sure what my eyes are up to. But the point of all these pictures and that video is for us to think about our eyesight. Like, what do we see? We often assume that we have the whole picture. We often assume that our eyes are working properly. But all of us realize how easy it is for us to miss something. How easy it is for us to be looking at something or listening to something or paying attention to something and completely miss what we're supposed to see. So as we consider our spiritual eyesight this morning, think about what our main text here is from Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. And that's going to be our key phrase, looking to Jesus. Some version says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the founder or the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Jesus says in his great sermon in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 23, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? In the ancient world, the eye was considered the window to the soul. It is the way the things that were outside of you and the things that were external became internalized. And it's true today as well. You think about the way your senses work, your eyes, your ears, your touch. The whole point of your senses is for you to be able to discern external realities and to bring them internally, to internalize and to understand and to sense what is going on in your environment, what's going on around you. And that's why Jesus says, if the eye is good, what's going on in here is good. But if the eye is bad and it's taking in bad things and processing wrongly, then you have darkness within you. So this morning, let's consider our spiritual eyesight. Are we perhaps nearsighted? Where we are just focused on what's in front of us and we don't see the long game? Or perhaps we're spiritually farsighted, where we're so obsessed over what's to come. We have fear over and anxiety over the future. Or do we have healthy vision that's filled up with Jesus and Jesus is being brought within? So there's a couple things I want us to consider from this text in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 that I think will help us move forward into this new year. And the first is this. Following Jesus requires shedding anything that holds us back. Again, this is a time of reflection, right? This is a time of consideration. Oftentimes when we make goals for ourselves, we have to examine ourselves and to say, okay, I'm not quite where I want to be in these ways. These are the things that need to change. If you don't think there's anything that needs to change, you won't set any goals for yourself, right? In the same way, spiritually, if we really want to follow Jesus, if we want to go where he's going, and we want to be up to what he's up to, we have to be willing to let go of anything that's going to hinder us, to lay aside every weight, the text says, to shed anything that is holding us back. The author begins this passage with an image of running a race. Runners, so I'm told, I don't know this personally, runners or athletes, typically do two things. If they really want to be the best, they either try to trim down as much as possible, lose as much fat as possible, or even lose a good bit of muscle as possible to be able to run farther distances, or they wear as little clothes as possible. In fact, in the ancient world, in the ancient Olympics, people would run naked. Why? Because clothes would hinder you. They would prevent you from running efficiently. I want you to imagine someone trying to win a gold medal in a running race wearing blue jeans. That just wouldn't work, right? They could easily outrun me, but they wouldn't win the race. In the same way, staying focused on Jesus, having our eyes fixed on Jesus, having healthy eyes to see how we should see, requires examination and honest reflection and discerning, okay, what is it that I need to cut out? What is it that I need to take off and put to the side? What is it that's holding me back from following my Lord? And if you begin to ask that question and pray that prayer, God will answer it. He will answer that question. He will answer that prayer. If you say, God, what is it in my life that's holding me back from following you more closely? He will answer that prayer. Consider in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves, Paul says, to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Examine yourselves. So what is it in your life that's weighing you down? What is it in your life that's prohibiting you from running the Christian race well? Perhaps, as the text said, it's sin. Maybe there's a particular sin that's clinging really closely to you that just won't let you go no matter how hard you try. Is it that type of sin that's holding you back? Maybe you have a lot of guilt built up over wrongdoings in the past. God's forgiven you, but you haven't. I know what I've done. I know who I really am. And if you knew who I really was, God, you'd leave me behind. Maybe there's some fears or anxieties in your world. Maybe there's some stress building up. Maybe you just have a lot on your plate and you're busy, 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 busy with even good things that are distracting you from Jesus. Maybe there's addictions that are clinging too closely. Maybe there's some unforgiveness and some bitterness that you won't let go of. Maybe there's some needed reconciliation in your relationships. Maybe there's some comfort zones that we just don't want to move out of. What is it in your life as you examine yourself that is prohibiting you from running the race effectively? So that's the first thing. Following Jesus requires shedding anything and being willing to shed anything. That's what it means to pick up your cross, right? Dying to self daily, dying to self daily. Secondly, following Jesus requires running the race of faith with endurance or perseverance. So there's two things to consider here. First, the author reminds us that when we lay aside the things that are weighing us down, that we're not running a short race. This is not a sprint, but a marathon, which requires endurance, it requires patience, it requires trust. Real long-lasting change in any capacity requires endurance. When one wants to lose weight, when one wants to gain muscle, the best way to keep off weight or to gain muscle and to keep it on, it's not short bursts of intense motivation, but small and consistent lifestyle changes over a long period of time. And the same is true spiritually. We can't expect quick fixes to our spiritual walk, right? So if you struggle with your prayer life, be patient. Don't expect it to be fixed by the end of the month. If you struggle with reading scripture, don't give up in Leviticus. Keep going, right? It takes endurance to get through Leviticus. It takes endurance to get through scripture, but it's worth it. It's worth it. If you're not sharing your faith in the way you feel like you should or you could, be patient. Endure. This is a long marathon, this spiritual race that we are running together. And the second is this. The first is that it takes endurance, and the second that the author really emphasizes is that we are not running this race alone. We're not running this race alone. And that's true in two ways. First, he uses this phrase, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses in verse 1. Now, if you are a fan of sports, not everyone is. I try to be cautious with my sports analogies because either you really get it or you really don't, and there's not really much in between. But for many of us, understand that for most sporting events, you have a crowd involved. And oftentimes, the crowd is considered to be a part of the team. It's why you have considered home field advantage, right? So in football, you might have the 12th man. So the 12th man, the crowd, as they are cheering and cheering and cheering and screaming their heads off, maybe they can actually affect the outcome of the game. Maybe they can get inside the opponent's head. In the same way, we are surrounded by people who are in this race with us. We have those who have gone on before us. In other words, this race that we run is a relay race. It didn't begin with you and it won't end with you. The chapter before what we just read in chapter 11 often is called the Great Hall of Faith. We have these great examples in the Old Testament of faith who didn't see it fully realized in Jesus, but for the hope set before them, right? For the promises of God, because of what he said would happen, they were faithful to God and they witnessed to his faithfulness. They say, God is worthy of our trust. God is worthy of following. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run this race. Let us move forward. Let us realize that we don't run this race alone. And then secondly, he says, let us, not let you. We run the race together. And I think that's really important for me to remember, because as I live, as you do, in a very American individualistic worldview where it's all up to me to fix what I need to fix about my life, it may be counterintuitive to say, hey, we actually are to run together. But that's why the church is described in so many communal metaphors. We are the body of Christ, yet many members. And many members are connected as one body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are the people of God. We are the temple of God. And we run this race together. So as we move into this new year, as you examine yourselves and say, I need to put this down. I need to lay this at the foot of the cross. I need to move forward in this way. Don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Everybody in this room is part of the family of God for those of us in Christ Jesus. So we don't run this race solo. He says, let us. And the more we can say, let us run this race effectively, the more consistent we will be in our race. Running the Christian race in faith is not easy. We must run with endurance, and we must run together. And then thirdly, and most importantly, we got to fix our eyes on him. He is the goal. He is the one that runs before us. And that's what the point of these verses are, is that Jesus ran the race first. Like, he goes before us, and we run behind him. He knows where he's going. I have no clue where I'm going. You have no idea where to go, but Jesus knows where to go. Jesus is the trailblazer of our faith. In Hebrews chapter 6, he says he is the anchor of our souls. He sits at the right hand of God. Rope is tied around his waist, tied around our waist, and he's the tether to reality. He knows where to go, and he leads us home. And that's why it says he is both the author or the founder. He's the source of our faith. He's the starting point. But he's also the perfecter of our faith. He's the perfecter. He's the sustainer of our faith. I came across this formula for spiritual success. And it goes like this. If you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Look up, because that's where Jesus is, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Looking to Jesus, the founder, perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where Jesus is. So we set our hearts on things above. We set our hearts on things above. If then, Colossians 3, 1 through 2, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So why look to Jesus? Why fix our eyes on Jesus? Why focus on Jesus? Because he is the founder, the perfecter of our faith. He's the anchor of our souls. The text says it was because of the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. Doesn't mean he enjoyed the cross. It means that there was something on the other side of the cross, that there was something worth dying for. And what's true for him is true for you. And that's why Jesus says, if you want to find your life, what do you have to do? Lose it. Right? It's counterintuitive. It doesn't make any sense, but it's real. That life only comes through death. Life only comes through the cross. And it was for the joy. I mean, the joy that was set before Jesus, that he endured the cross. He took all of it because he knew it was worth it. He took all of it because he knew what was on the other side of the cross. And if you want to be a follower of Jesus, if you want to follow Jesus to where he's going, we must endure the cross as well, together as his body. If you want to find your life, if you really want to know what life is all about, you first must lose it. So this morning, how is your vision? Do you see clearly? Do you see what's right in front of you? Are your eyes fixed on him, or are you distracted? Are you concerned? Are you worried? Are you looking elsewhere? Are you trying to find meaning and purpose and answers and things that cannot provide? Or are your eyes fixed on Jesus? And it's my hope and it's my prayer that this year that we together might grow in our walk with Jesus and grow to look more like him. It all starts and it all finishes with the cross. And so if you are here this morning and you have not been saved by the cross of Christ, by the blood that he shed that provides forgiveness of sins, if you've not been baptized and united with Christ to raise, walk in newness of life, as we begin to sing this next song, you're welcome to come to the front and respond to this invitation and to be baptized this morning. But if you are here this morning and you have looked back this last year and you say, you know, I kind of have been just going through the motions. I'm not really where I want to be in my faith. And the fact is, I think we all could say that in different ways. We're not where we want to be, but we know who knows where he's going, and that is Jesus. So if we can walk with you this morning and pray on your behalf in any way, we encourage you to come and make that need known as well. As we pray to our Father this prayer, Father, in the presence of so many faithful witnesses, we ask that you help us remove every burden and every sin that would prohibit us from running the race you set before us. Give us strength to run with endurance and help us to constantly fix our eyes on Jesus, your Son, your Christ, our Lord and Savior. As Jesus endured the cross before us, help us this day and this coming year to endure the cross as well. And we pray this as always in the name of Jesus, through the power of your Spirit, and to your everlasting glory. Amen. If you have any need, please come forward now as we stand and sing our invitation song.